I want us to go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 27 to 30. And it says this. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed bountiful, a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. Verse 28, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. I'm going to jump to verse 30, and it says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he said, let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. Can I just pray real quick before we get into today's word? Father, we just thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would make it come alive to each and every single one of us, that you would speak to us. But God, I pray that it would inspire us, encourage us, strengthen us, but also challenge us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. So it was about a year ago. I was reflecting as I was preparing for this message of where my wife and I, my wife, she was leading worship here. She was dressed all in black. She did her thing on stage for worship. Yeah, shout out to my wife. but we were, a year ago last week, we had been praying about what God was doing in our lives. So that night I was praying, my wife and I, we came together, we prayed, and the very next morning I felt the Lord say to me, behold, I'm doing something new. And that, I went and looked up in that scripture what where that comes from. Because listen to me, anytime God speaks to you, you want to go and confirm it through his word. Yeah. So I went back to his word and I'm like, I know that's a scripture somewhere. And I found it in the book of Isaiah chapter 43. And it's this moment in Israel's history where God is speaking to the people of Israel. And he's saying, I am the God who parted the Red Seas. I am the God who pursued your enemies. I am the God who caused you to walk on dry land when it seemed like you couldn't. But then he says, but forget all of that because it does not compare to what I am about to do. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Jose, I've been with you. I've been for you. I've made a way where there was no way. I've been involved in all of this all along. But listen to me, what you're about to experience does not compare to what you've already been through. I've got something so much better, so much greater, so much more powerful. And if you would just trust me, I will take you places and allow you to do things that you never dreamed or imagined you would ever do. You ever been there? Where you feel like God is calling you into something, that he's pushing you into something. Maybe it's a relationship that he knows is going to bless your life. Maybe it's a business idea that God is saying, hey, if you will trust me and you will take this adventure with me, I will cause you to be fruitful and do something incredible with your life. I don't know what it is for you, but I can tell you right now that if you do not know, I want to tell you something that you should know. God has a promised land that he is taking you to. It's a land of promises. It is a land of blessings. It is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. But if you are not careful, you could actually miss out on everything that God has for you because you're so focused on the wrong things. I want to talk to you today from the topic, three things that keep you from the promised land. Three things that keep you from the promised land. If we're going to walk into the promises that God has for our lives, there are some things that we have to understand about this story that affect us in our everyday lives today. Just to give you a little bit of context, in this story, Moses sent out 12 people into the land of Canaan. This is the land that God had originally intended for them to walk into, a land that God had promised he would take them to. He brought them out of slavery in Egypt, had them wandering in this wilderness, and he told them in the book of Deuteronomy, he said to them, I am the one who is taking you out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt to bring you into this land. Because listen to me, God is always taking you out of something that is not good for you to bring you into everything that he has for you. That is what this entire journey of Christianity is all about. God is taking you out of your sin, out of your bondage, out of your captivity, out of your addiction to bring you into a land of promise, a land of blessing, a land of freedom, and a land of promises for your life. And that is not only true for you, but that is true for your children and for your children's children and their children. It does not end with you. That's why it's important that we get this thing of faith right now, because it affects the generations to come. In the book of Numbers chapter 27, what we see is 10 people. The 12 get sent into the land. 10 of them come back with this bad report. And they said to Moses, in verse 27 of chapter 13, it says, this is what their report to Moses, we entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. In other words, what they said, hey, we went into this land to spy it out, and we saw God's blessings in it, and we saw how fruitful it was. The Bible says they brought back fruit that they had never seen before. I mean, these grapes were so big, they were the size of watermelons. Could you imagine how big this fruit was? Could you imagine going into this place and all you see is just greenery and it looks like a paradise? I want you to think of Hawaii, except with greater fruit. You know what I mean? Who wants to be in Hawaii right now? I do. But they come back and they say, hey, we went into the land and it is indeed, you're right. It's bountiful. It's blessed all over the place. It's fruitful and it multiplies. But then we see this shift in their perspective that changed the trajectory of their lives. They went from focusing on the possibilities of all that the land could produce to the problems in all the land that would keep them from it. And this is the sad reality for many of us here today. You see, the fact is that many people miss out on everything that God has for them. They miss out on the promises of God, not because they lack perspective, but because they have the wrong perspective. They have the wrong perspective. You see, their perspective shifted from the promise to the problems. Their perspective shifted from the fruit to the people. They said the people are too strong. Not only that, but the towns are large and fortified. It doesn't stop there, but there's also giants. The descendants of Anak live in there. And as if that wasn't enough, there's also this rumor that the land devours anyone who dwells there. Well, wait a minute. There's a whole people that are living there. And so their perspective shifted from being able to see what God said to what they see. The problem that many of us have today is that we focus more on what we see than what God said. God told you he would bless it. God told you he would be with you. God told you he would fight for you. God told you he would protect you. God told you he would provide for you. God told you he would heal you. But you are not able to focus on his promise. You're not able to focus on what he said because you could only see the chaos around you. We need to focus more on what God said than what you see. If you're going to step into everything that God has for you, there has to be a moment shift, a perspective shift in our lives to where the word of God becomes more real to us than the word of the enemy. We have to get to a place where the word of God is worth more to us than the chaos we see in our world. Because hear me, if God said he's going to provide, he's going to do it. If he said he's going to heal, trust me when I tell you, he will heal. If God says he's going to deliver, then baby, he's going to deliver, because the book of Numbers tells me in chapter 23 that God is not a man that he would lie. nor is he the son of man that he would change his mind. The promises of God are always yes and amen. He is faithful and just to fulfill every single word that he has spoken over our lives. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and tell him, change your perspective. Change your focus. Change your focus. Because here's the issue. Here's the issue. What you focus on, you will magnify. What you focus on, you will magnify. I remember being a kid when I was growing up. I was actually raised in this motel in Millville, one room, two beds, just our whole family, and I didn't have much to do. There was no video games for us, right? Like if we wanted to have fun, we had to go outside and play football, and not like fun football. It was like in the gravel, like you know. But we did have these woods, and I remember I found these binoculars that I really loved. And one of the things I love about binoculars is that you're able to look at things more clearly that are at a greater distance. And so I could see a bird in the tree and look through the binoculars. Are any of you bird watchers? Right? Well, I wasn't, but I was just looking for stuff in the woods because I had nothing else to do, right? So I remember putting on the binoculars and seeing this bird. And as I'm walking, I'm putting on the binoculars and I'm walking, I remember tripping over this branch on the floor, just falling on my face. Why? Because I was so focused on looking at the bird that I could not see what was going on around me that caused me to trip up. You see, the reality that so many of us trip up in our lives because we are focused on the wrong things. What you focus on, you magnify. And some of us need to remove the binoculars off of our problems and set our focus on the problem solver, which is Jesus himself. Because when you remove the focus off of your problems, you're able to see your Savior so much greater than what you've ever seen him before. And some of us can't see what God is doing around us because we're so focused on what we're looking at with our obstacles and our problems. Have you ever noticed how much more your anxiety, how much greater it looks and how much greater it feels when that's all you focus on? You ever notice how big your problems get when it's all you ever talk about? You ever notice how much more you struggle in your marriage because all you ever focus on is the arguments and the grief and what I don't like about him and what I don't like about her? Your problems that you focus on become greater because it's all you're focusing on. Because what you focus on, you magnify. That's why we need to focus more on what God said. That's why soap is so important to us in this church, because the moment you wake up, you're shifting your perspective to the promises and the word of God more than you are your problems. And so I encourage you every morning, 6 a.m., if you aren't able to do it at 6 a.m., do it throughout the day. It's on our podcast, but jump on that soap. There were two spies that came back with a good report. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. And in verse 30, we are introduced to this man named Caleb, who stood out amongst the crowd because Caleb came back. And in verse 30, it says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. This is beautiful because what it tells me is that Caleb had some faith to believe that what God said he was going to do, he was going to do. Caleb had faith to believe that if God said he was going to be with them and for them, there is nothing that could stop them. But there's always going to be a group of people around you who will tell you it's not possible, who will tell you it won't happen, who will diminish your faith, not because they have no faith, but because they have faith in the wrong things. And you could end up missing out on everything that God has on you, not because you have a lack of faith, but because you have too much faith in the wrong things. You realize that is what fear is, right? I've heard it said over and over again that fear is the absence of faith. That is not true. In fact, I found this acronym that says this: fear is having faith in expectations that only appear to be real. So in other words, it is not a lack of faith that we struggle with. It is a faith placed in the wrong thing. See, the problem that most of us have is that some of us have more faith to believe that our marriages will fail than the fact that God can restore them. Some of us have more faith to believe that the new business idea would fail rather than the fact that God, by his grace, could cause it to be fruitful. We have more faith to believe that the diagnosis that we have been given will be the end of us rather to believe that God can heal us the same way he healed the woman with the issue of blood, the same way he healed the blind man, the same way he healed the man who couldn't walk, the same way he healed the man who had a leprous disease. We have more faith to believe in our enemy than we do in our Savior. I've been there. Hi, my name is Jose Lopez. I'm the worship pastor here at Fusion Church. And I have struggled with my faith. And there have been times in my life that I have believed the lies of the enemy over the truth of God's word. There have been times in my life that I have missed out on what God was doing because I had more faith to believe in the power of the enemy than I did to believe in my God. Look at what they said. In verse 31, it says, "But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." They believed the lie that the enemy was stronger than their Savior. They believed the lie that the enemy was stronger than their God. Why? Because their focus was on their problems. And here's the problem. What you focus on, you will magnify. But what you magnify, you end up believing. I'm gonna say that again. What you focus on, you will magnify. And what you magnify, if you are not careful, you will end up believing. That is why so many of you have fallen into the trap of the enemy, because you have been focusing on your problems for way too long. You have been focusing on your offense. You have been focusing on your anxiety. You have been focusing on your fear. You have been focusing on your doubts. You've been focusing on the problems. You've been focusing on the obstacles. You focus on what's gotten in the way. And you said that thing is so much greater than your God because you have magnified it in your life. It's caused you to lose focus and put more faith in the enemy than you do in your God. They had more faith to believe that they would fail and be defeated than they had faith to believe that God had already given them the victory. The 10 other men put their faith in the wrong thing because they lost sight of their true identity. You see, too many of us lose out on the promises that God has for our lives because we have embraced the wrong identity. Yes. Yes. Look what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. It says, "We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too." See, the problem that many of us have is that we have embraced this grasshopper mentality. We have embraced this lie that we have not just been given, but we have believed over ourselves. You see, the phrase there, "we felt like," literally means to become. That's why the NASB version translates it this way: "We became like grasshoppers." The problem is that left unchecked, our feelings will become who we are. Left unchecked, if we are not careful, how we feel will become who we are. We cannot embrace an identity that has not been given to us by God. And here's the thing. A lot of times the enemy does not win by getting us to believe his lie. Many times the enemy wins by getting us to believe our own lies. Because it wasn't something that the enemy spoke over them. They said, we felt like grasshoppers in their sight. And the enemy thought so too. In other words, they only reinforced what we believed about ourselves. Can I ask you a question? What do you think the enemy's going to do? You think when you go to him and you're like, I'm just not good enough, he's going to be like, no, don't say that about yourself. I'm not smart enough. No, you're really smart. No. When you come to the enemy and you're like, yeah, I feel small, I feel tiny, I feel too stupid, I feel too not wise, I don't feel educated enough, I don't feel good enough, I don't feel strong enough, I'm just an addict, I'm just a divorced person, I'm just a poor person, I'm just this, that, this, and that. The enemy will not disagree with you. That's why I wish I had 10 people to say, listen to me, you may see me as a grasshopper, but in my Savior, I'm a giant. I wish I had 10 people to say, you may see me as a grasshopper, but baby, you got the wrong one today. Don't let what you see fool you. I am not one to be played with. You may see me as a grasshopper, but I see myself as God's chosen. You may see me as a grasshopper, but I see myself as God's child. Oh, you did not know. Listen to me. You're going to learn today. This is my land. This is my territory. This is my family. This is my marriage. This is my child. This is my freedom. This is my healing. You may see me as a grasshopper, but today I'm a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I am the head and I am not the tail. I know I'm dealing with some giants, but greater is he that is living in me than he that is in the world. Step aside, devil, because I'm here to claim what's mine, and I'm here to claim my identity. I'm here to claim my purpose, and I'm here to claim everything that God has for me. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I want to pray for you because I believe that today is a day of freedom. I believe today is a day of deliverance. I believe today is a day where marriages are going to be restored. I believe today is a day where sicknesses are going to be healed. And I will no longer look at the chaos around me and allow it to overtake and shadow the promises of God over my life. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. God, I thank you that what you have for us is so much greater than we can ask, think, dream, or imagine. And so, Father, right now, I pray that you would help us to shift our focus. God, I pray that you would allow our faith to rise up and put our faith more in you than we do our enemy. God, this day, we choose to embrace one identity, and that is the identity that you have given us as your children, as people who are called by your name. And from this day forward, I believe that nothing will hold us back from everything that you have for us, not just as a church, but as a people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.